It's now or never. It's the news, according to me. I don't know what I have. I have issues. It's 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am at the home studio. Yesterday morning, I don't know if you noticed or not, yesterday morning there was no show. I did not show up for the show. There was no show by me. I no-showed the show. We have, yesterday morning turned into a little bit more of a crazy day than I thought. I got home about midnight last night, and I'm glad I did not try to squeeze a show in. I almost did a live show from the airport when I got to the airport, but the airport was extremely busy. I don't understand it. What's weird is there didn't seem like there was any flights going out. I was at the airport yesterday. I had to go to Buffalo, New York, and I went there and came back, and it was. O'Hare did not seem very busy. You know, I went from South Bend. I flew from South Bend to Chicago to Buffalo, New York. And it didn't seem like the airport was very busy at all. As far as the planes were concerned, there was hardly any planes there. And I didn't see much traffic moving. And we got right out, and there was no delays. There was no line, nothing. The strange part of that, this weird part of that, is just okay, so the dog just took my headphones. He's walking under the... I can't hear myself at all. The terminal was busy. It's full, packed. Maybe they need to get more airplanes, because they had a whole bunch of people wanting to go somewhere and no planes there to take them anywhere. Right? So it's just kind of a weird deal, but weird day. Anyway, besides all that, I have, by the way, yesterday's show, in case you're wondering what the name was supposed to be, what's weird about Tuesday, by the way, was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday the 15th, I think it was. Yesterday was the 16th. Today's the 17th, right? It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. April 17th, Thursday, 2025. This is not live. I was going to do a live show from my phone. I've never tried it. I may try to do it at some point in the future here, just to see how it works. But there's a way to do a Podbean broadcast live from, I think, from my phone. I've never tried it. But I was just going to come on really quickly and just say, hey, there's not going to be a show today. Just a show to tell you there's not going to be a show. Now, what's odd about this is that in the last few days, all of a sudden, listenership is up like four times what it was. I don't know what just happened there. In fact, yesterday, even though there was no show, people were listening to Tuesday's show, and even till today, this morning, even. They listened to it a lot. There's a lot of people got chimed in on it on Tuesday. And then there was a whole bunch of people that checked in yesterday, and almost the same amount today already. So I don't know what's going on there. So Wednesday is going to be Wishy-Washy Wednesday, by the way, just in case you're wondering what's going on. So we didn't have a Wishy-Washy Wednesday. Wishy-Washy Wednesday is going to be a day where the general topic of the day. Now it's always flexible, because if news breaks in, we have to do something different. It's fine, a special show or something. But or if I just have nothing else to say. But what they're basically doing is that so Wednesday's going to be Wishy-Washy Wednesday, because I'm going to pick out people like Nancy Pelosi and some of these. Whether they're journalists or whether they are politicians, whoever they are, on the left or the right, I don't care. If they say one thing and do another, we're going to point out it's basically hypocrisy day. So it's kind of be this, you're wishy-washy on the issue. In other words, you say one thing, do another, or you what you're saying, you don't really believe what you're saying. Just that kind of stuff. They're let's just say, loose with the truth. And it's all about topical theatrics and everything else. And I had about three different things I was going to talk about yesterday. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about was what's in my cup. I have Big Train chai. Or actually, I don't have Big Train. I have a Pacific Island chai. The vanilla flavor. And it's good stuff. I have almond joy creamer in there. I don't know why my throat's getting dry now. I also have homemade sweet tea, which I made on Tuesday. I don't know if I think I did have this on Tuesday morning. On tax day, the day everybody celebrates every year by writing out big fat checks. Or some people don't. Because they don't, I'm going to get a refund. I want to get a big tax check. Yeah, you do realize you overpaid in your taxes. That's why you get a refund. You paid, they took too much out of your check to begin with. That's where that money comes from. It's your money. If you want to give me like 20% of your paycheck every week or every other week, however you get paid, I don't care. Even if it's just every other week that you want to give me a 20% of your paycheck, that's fine. And at the end of the year, I'll give you about 4 or 5% back. I'm happy to do that. In fact, I'll give it all back to you. You want to give me that money all throughout the year? I will give it all back to you. No interest, of course. I'll give it back to you, maybe a couple months after the year's end. So if you want to, when you start doing that, we'll set up a contract for 12 months. You give me all your, give me 20% of your income. And I'll give you back all of it at the end of 12 months. Well, maybe it's 14 months. I'm not going to give you any interest. I'd be happy to do that for you. Because I guarantee you, I can make some money with that money. I'll just give it back to you. That's how that works. So there you go. We have, and that's what the government does to you. They take your money all year long. At the end of the year, they give you a little bit back. And oh boy, aren't you happy? Let's go out and buy a new Nintendo. Because that's a good investment. Anyway, you have, not only does it rob you of your money, it robs you of the biggest thing is it robs you of your time. I know people who are really into online gaming. And I'm not saying it's evil. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily immoral about it necessarily. Some of the games probably are, but I don't know. What's really immoral about it, what's really bad about it is that it robs people of their time. You don't realize how many hours you spend wasting away, with a computer thing. I don't even know how, what they, I guess they have like a controller or something. I don't know what they do. Yeah. For those of you who are gamers, just look, if that's your hobby, that's your thing, you like to do it, it's great. I'm not condemning you for it. I'm just saying, be careful with that stuff. You can waste a lot of time. Maybe you don't feel like it's a waste. Maybe it's some kind of a release for you. Maybe some kind of kind of like therapy, like me doing this show. It kind of, maybe it's good for you. I don't know. I doubt it. There's probably a lot more productive things you can be doing with your time. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot more productive things I can be doing with my time, as can you, as can all of us, lest we try to pick the plank out of somebody's eye. We have it's constant battle. It's constant battle to try to redeem the time, as the scripture says, to number our days, to be able to be efficient with all the resources we have. It's just, we get weary. Scripture says, don't get weary in well-doing. Okay. Oh, okay. That's great. Thanks for letting me know that. Yeah. Whew, that was refreshing. Okay, I'll just not get weary. I'll just not get tired. That's not really what it's saying there, but it's just, you know, what it's really saying is don't ignore doing good works. Don't ignore doing, you know, well doing. Doing things well. Don't slack off. You can be tired. You can tire whatever you want. It's going to be like a guarantee. If you're doing things well, you're going to be tired. However, if you're lazy and you don't do things well, you're going to be even more tired because you're going to be tired and stressed. But anyway, it's all a big ball of wax. So wishy-washy Wednesday. Now, the question is, today is not Wednesday, so today is Thursday. So the question is, what are we doing today? What's happening today? This is Thursday, and obviously it's not Wednesday. So what is Thursday going to be? Now, the question, real big question is, what is Friday going to be? Which I already kind of got the word for that, but I think we have, was it Magical Monday? No, what was it? Was it Topical Tuesday? We have Mishmash Monday, Topical Tuesday. Wishy-washy Wednesday. Thursday is going to be Thirsty Thursday. Now, I know this sounds kind of silly, but what is our country, what does our nation really need? What are we thirsty for? What are we hungering for and thirsting for? I guess it kind of goes along with that hunger and thirst thing. We are hungry, I think, for leadership in our nation. We are hungry for a vision that our nation can get behind, the unification of our country. We are thirsty. I think we are in the same kind of light for those things, as well as we are thirsty for justice. We are thirsty for things being set right, for the truth. And I think we are thirsty to hear that evil is exposed, that things are brought out into the light. We are also thirsty for good examples. Hungry and thirsty for people who will provide good examples. The media, I'm not just talking about news media, but all media, whether it's television, movies, all the production of media, even YouTube, everything else, as well as the news, has a tendency to live in fantasy land, first of all. They live in this phony kind of example world where they try to push an agenda. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that we are thirsty for. So the goal on Thirsty Thursdays is to present some things that are good examples, or to present examples of what the media and what the world would produce that is the opposite or a theatrical view of the media, of what we are thirsty for, of that truth that we are thirsty for, those examples of, I don't want to say heroes. I'm searching for the word in my head. Just good examples to live by, people to uphold and to exemplify how we should live. And you got to be careful with that. You don't want to put people on a pedestal. You don't want to say, you want to idolize someone. You don't want to. But at the same time, that you need to look at someone's, you know, look at a person's life, their character, the choices that they make, even how, and it's not so much that they always make the right choices. I think more importantly than someone who's always making the right choices, because that's the way that these influencers, these YouTube influencers, these social media influencers who are out there, many times they present themselves in their little 30-minute podcast and their show on their little video, whatever, the van life, whatever they're doing. This week we go to whatever, we visit this, we do that. So in 30 minutes, they compile all the good things that happened over the last week. And they produce it and edit out all the parts that are bad. They present that to you, and that's their life. Oh, isn't that, that's an awesome life. We should try that. They're having so much fun. And what you don't see, how many hours are there in a week? Let's find out here, Bob. Let's go to the calculator, Bob. I don't know who Bob is. Oh, Bob, I know who Bob is. Bob probably listened to the show. He's probably asleep by now. The they used to have this guy. What was the name of the show? I can't remember. I was just a kid. There was this little, it was a comedy news show thing. I can't remember what the name of it was. It seems like it wasn't on Carol Burnett. It was on something like that, Red Skeleton, Carol Burnett. That was back in those days. And they would have this little comedy, it wasn't SNL, I know it wasn't that. They had this comedy news thing, and this guy would go, let's go to the news feed, Bob, or whatever it was. It was always just, Bob was like the producer. And so they had this little thing with. So there's 168 hours in a week, and they're presenting you 30 minutes of their life. And I guarantee you about 167 and a half of those other hours were spent sweating, fretting, worrying, fixing something broken, yelling and screaming at each other, having arguments, throwing stuff, throwing tantrums, breaking things. Kicking the dog, whatever it is. All to present you that 30 minutes of wonderful van life, whatever it is that their show is about, whether it's boat life, van life, whatever it is. And we are led to believe that this is the way the other half lives. They have no problems, no struggles, no worries, no cares. Just traveling down the road, never a flat tire, just everything's wonderful. Unless they get a tire sponsor and then they have a flat tire on purpose so they can show you, I went to Discount Tire and I got, they did all this for me. Oh, by the way, they're a sponsor of this week's show. They give us a whole new set of tires for sponsoring the show. There's that kind of stuff that goes on. Those are the phony examples, I would say, of how we live. Now, I think social media has portrayed this idea, this idealistic view of how some people live. And it's not so much that. It is the importance of a person's character, in my opinion, this is just my humble opinion, is not so much that they always make the right choices and life is wonderful and it's a breeze for them. Because they always make the right choices. After all, they're always right. What really shows the character of the person and what I think should be uplifted is how they handle the mistakes that they make. How they handle things when things don't go as planned. Whether it's their fault or someone else's fault. And more importantly, are they willing to take responsibility when it is their fault? Or even partially their fault? Or is their first reaction to blame everyone else and become the victim? I think, personally, that is a bigger part of a person's character and something that should be uplifted and upheld as honorable. Before the person who just does everything right edits out the bad parts of their life. And on and on. So, what is this? I have a... Oh, that's interesting. Something there, I don't know, got a package on it. Okay, anyway, so Thirsty Thursday is going to be more about that. I'm going to try to have examples of that. Now, I guarantee you, Thursdays are going to be a tough show because, know, as I was pondering this and going through all this and thinking about all this, I actually started to realize most of the media, including my show, has somewhat of a negative negative motivation. In other words, always looking for the things that are wrong with the people on the other side. Now, the problem with this is that if I think about it for very long, trying to find the things, the good things on the other side, actually become very difficult because there's not a whole lot. The left now is claiming and accusing the Trump administration of being the administration of chaos. It's all chaos. Now, I think it's very important that we realize, I know this has been said many times, but it has become more and more clear, and I think we need to really realize when the left, people on the left start screaming and yelling and accusing and talking about and trying and even convicting in some cases people of doing something, committing a crime, doing something immoral, whatever it is. In so many cases, and case after case now, they just keep building up, and it seems like it's every day. Come to find out, the very person who's the most passionate about, who's squealing the most, is the one with the biggest problem, is the one who is projecting their issues onto someone else. Either it is something that they would have done because that's what they think. If they were in that situation, that's what they would have done. So they're accusing the other person of doing it. Or they're doing it. Letitia James, for example. Fine example of an upright warrior for justice. Out to get Donald Trump. She ran on that to be the New York Attorney General. I think it was the, I think she's the city, I think she's Attorney General for the New York City. I don't know. Or prosecutor, whatever she is. Let's look it up and find out what she, I need to know what her title actually is. Because this may not be, let's see here, Letitia. There we go. Here she is. It autofills. Attorney General. She is the Attorney General of New York, I believe. News for Letitia James. Here we go. Letitia James, Wikipedia. Let's just go to the Wikipedia page because we know that's going to be right. She is Attorney General of New York State. She took office January 1st, 2019. She ran on the idea of going after, this was under Governor Cuomo, Kathy Hochul. Now, Kathy Hochul is now the current governor. Now, she ran on the whole idea of going after Trump. That was her thing. She is a piece of work. Let's just put it that way. That was back in 2009. She looked very different in 2009 than she looks now. So she's almost looks like two different people. That's actually her. Okay. Well, I don't know. Whatever. She's kind of the embodiment of the, if you look into her background, this much I do know. If you look into her background, you'll find that she is very much a Black liberation theology mindset. That being aside, she of course went after Donald Trump for all this fraud stuff. That he falsified documents. This whole thing with the bank, with the, you know, he changed the value of his property. The banks don't care. You can walk up to your bank and you can say, I've got a property that's worth $20 million. Can I get a $10 million loan? Then it's going to go, oh, it's worth $20 million. Oh, yeah, we'll give you so there you go. Here's the money. Here's a check. See ya. That's not the way it works. Okay, they have their own auditors. Usually they have their own assessors. They go into this whole process. Our first house that we purchased, it was well under $100,000. Let's just put it that way. This was back in 1990. The actual bank, it was a credit union, and certain values of homes, they actually came to the home and actually did an assessment. But the board of the credit union actually came out and assessed the value. They looked at the house, looked at the property. They can, you can hire an independent assessor. They can do all that kind of stuff. And a good friend of mine from junior high school, his father was an assessor, very good assessor. My dad in his real estate company used him a lot. Did an awesome job as an assessor. And he just had a lot of integrity, very thorough. Now, what was interesting is that when he was in his younger years, he was a music teacher. He actually had him for junior high, for grade school and junior high music. He became an assessor, I think, sometime in the, I graduated in 1980. But he became an assessor sometime in the late 80s, sometime in there, and did that for many, many years. Still alive, still with us, as far as I know. But he he would get hired by either banking institutions or for personal individuals, whatever it was, to go in and do an assessment. So he would go in and do this assessment. He's an independent guy. We just would do that, and then the bank would base that. Of course, sometimes they get two or three different assessments on a property and come into the kind of the middle where it was at. Realtors would use them, bankers would use them, all that kind of thing all the time. Now, Letitia claims that this bank just took his word for it and just gave him the money and that they were defrauded, even though he made all the payments and paid them all back. No one was hurt. Everybody got their money. They got the project done. Basically, what the bank is saying, when a bank comes in and assesses the home and they're willing to loan money on and use that property as collateral, what they're saying is, we're willing to pay you this much for the property because they're really buying it for you. You're just buying it off of them. they're giving you the money, but if you don't pay for it, it's their property now. They're on the mortgage. They're on the title. So they're agreeing to that price. What is fraud is what Letitia James was doing at the same exact time she was going after Donald Trump. Same time. She had a house out of New York. I don't remember where the house was. She's claiming it has five bedrooms, but she's claiming it has five rooms. She's claiming it has four. I think it was five bedrooms. She was claiming it had four bedrooms. Because she got a better deal, better tax deal, or better some kind of different loan thing. I don't know what it was. Somehow she had to claim that it had four rooms instead of five. It's not just that. She also claimed that it was her residence, even though it was outside of the state, and she can't live outside the state and be a state representative, a state politician, and hold the office of attorney general. She has to be a resident of the New York. And she wasn't. She had another, well, either she was or she wasn't. She had another home in New York that she claimed was her residence. Now, what was also rather damning in this whole thing, she wasn't married at the time. I still don't think she's married. And she ends up claiming that her father was her husband. Because in order to buy this house, she had to have a, couldn't be a single person because of the rules of this whole building thing. She had to claim, for, I think it was for the purpose of the loan. She defrauded the banks. And this is fraud. This is when you present yourself as something that you're not. Not when you just change the value of a home or change the value, you know, agree on a price and the banks went. No, she lied to the banks, lied to the banking institutions, lied to the state of New York, lied to so many people here. Of course, everybody says, oh, this is just because they just had to get it done because it was on paper. This is much like Ilhan Omar, who apparently just signed some paperwork so that her brother could move to the United States because they got married. Oh, by the way, nobody told anybody that it was her brother. While she was still living with her ex-husband, still is, I think. Whatever's going on with that. So it's just the whole thing, of course, I think that whole thing blew up. Actually, I don't think she's married to, not with either one of them. She divorced her brother. So anyway, this is the kind of crazy crap these people do. And then when, and now they're just denying this, like this whole thing with deporting this one guy to Honduras, who was apparently an MS-13 gang member who was determined back in 2019 by the State Department or the Justice Department that he was, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I'm also not a politician. Everything I say is just my opinion and everything I've read and heard. This guy they're trying to deport, the news media, why anybody is just going nuts, sticking up for these people? Look, I'm all for people having a proper defense. I love defense attorneys, okay? I love the fact that they are there to make, the system should be rigged in favor of the person who committed the crime. I know that sounds crazy, but it really should be. You should have a preponderance of evidence. You should have a reasonable suspicion. You should have beyond reasonable doubt that a person is guilty, that there is suspicion of a crime, probable cause, all those. I believe in all of that stuff. But I also believe in, if you are found guilty, Once all those hurdles are jumped over, then you are definitely guilty because all the hurdles were jumped through. You know, all the hoops were jumped through and all the hurdles were jumped over and all the things, you know, dot your T's and cross your I's. My eyes are crossed most of the time. You do all that stuff. You get it all done. And then now it's time for justice. It's time for prosecution. It's time for paying your debt to society. But we don't want to get loosey-goosey with just finding somebody guilty of 34 felonies and we don't know what they even are. And by the way, this whole rape charge thing they keep going after Trump for, he was not found guilty of rape. And in fact, it was a defamation case that was the civil trial. In fact, all these crimes were civil crimes. By the way, the definition that the news media would keep having you say, well, it's a civil crime. It's a civil crime. Coming to the country, coming across the border illegally, being here as an illegal immigrant. They will argue tooth and nail all day long. Well, it's a civil crime. They're not a criminal because that's just a civil infraction. It's a misdemeanor. You realize that almost all of the things they accuse Donald Trump of are civil crimes. So he's not a criminal, apparently. Because criminals, even though they commit civil crimes, that's not a criminal. Apparently, that's in their definition. This is what the left does now. In order to reduce crime, the crime rate, all you have to do is redefine what crime is. In order to push a vaccine through, all you have to do is redefine what a vaccine is. In order to fill in the blank, just one thing after another for these people. Now they're claiming that there's nothing but chaos in the Trump administration. Now, here's the truth of the matter, and this is what they're projecting here. Is what they're going through themselves. If you have heard anything about all these rallies that are going on all over the country, they're rallying for this and rallying for that. Now, the latest thing is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, formerly known as AOC. She's running around with her Latin accent, apparently, that she never had before. And she's running around with this, I can't even hardly recognize her when she talks. She's running around with Bernie Sanders, of all people, claiming that it's the oligarchy. It's the oligarchy. It's the oligarchy. We are now headed for an oligarchy. Now, he's been saying this for the last 30 years. The oligarchy. Oligarchy that he has talked about. They literally, this is their thing now. This is their mission. This is their vision. This is their goal to win office now, is to go after the oligarchy. Folks, this one gal puts it plainer than anybody else. I should just play the video again. Talks about how the Democrat Party is the party of the rich. She goes through all the statistics. All the people who donate to the Democrat Party, all the people who are Democrats, the kind of money that's there. They're Democrats. They claim, because they have the poor community, the working class, should say the welfare class, convinced that they're all for them. They're all for them, and they're going to make sure you keep getting your benefits. Really what they're doing is they're going to keep you down, keep you government reliant on government, dependent on government, so that way and you'll keep voting for us, because all we have to do is say they're going to take away your benefits. And, I can't vote for them. They're going to take away my benefits. We're all for health care. We're going to provide you with health care. We're going to provide you with a living wage. We're going to provide you with a free cell phone, whatever it is, free Wi-Fi, whatever it is. Let me be very clear. As a conservative libertarian, I want to be very clear. I want everyone to have food in their belly. I want everyone to have the health care that they need, or even the health care that they want, whatever health care they desire. I want them to be able to drive the car of their dreams. I want them to have a decent job. I want them to have a potential for whatever education that they, however far they can go with their education, based on merit, that they can get, they can study hard and they can achieve in an education system that fosters learning and growth. What I don't want is to have a society where some people have to pay for other people's, all that stuff listed above. I want a society that people can afford to pay for all those things because the economy is good. They have a good job. Jobs are plentiful. They have the ability to move up. Not right out of high school. You start by learning some work ethic, getting an education, getting some life experience, some job experience, some work experience. You learn the value of a dollar. And as you move up in your skills, in your abilities, in your right choices that you make, or learning from your wrong choices. And you become an adult, a productive society, a citizen of the society. Citizen of the society. Society. And in fact, you're so productive that you end up being able to afford the best life insurance, the best health insurance, the best car insurance. You can afford a house. You can afford to have a family. Not to have somebody else pay for it for you. A strong and healthy nation. I've always, for a long time, I used to sign all my emails at the bottom. I had a little thing that was an automatic signature. It said, "A truly sovereign nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign individuals." It's one thing for a nation to have sovereignty in the world, on the global scheme, on the global world frame, that we are recognized as being a sovereign nation and no one interferes with our elections, no one interferes with our political process, with our economic status, with our economic growth. And we are sovereign in those things. No one trespasses. People abide by the laws and rules of society. That's one thing. If that comes at the expense of a nation that suppresses its individuals, that locks people into a mold, tells them what to do. Now, you can go to, I would imagine, you know, Korea would be considered a very sovereign nation. As a nation. But they're not truly sovereign. The people aren't sovereign. They're collective. They own the people. You are chattel. You are serfs of the government. We have become that in this nation. Without even we're all day long told, "Oh, we're with freedom and liberty, freedom and liberty. Oh, look at the freedom and liberty we have." Everything we do is regulated, taxed, compromised, vilified in some cases. And we just go along with it. We don't recognize it because we still have a lot of freedoms in this country. Don't get me wrong. But we are not truly liberated. Because individuals are not sovereign. If you're a homeowner, now, depending on what state you live in, you probably have property tax. So you say you own your house outright. You own the whole thing. There's no mortgage on it. There's nothing else. No, you know, it's just you by yourself. You own a house. And oh, by the way, you pay property tax. What if you stop paying that property tax? They will come and take your home away. Now, why? Why do you think they justify or think that they have a right to charge you for something you own? They don't do that with your computer, with your stereo, with your furniture in your house. That's property. Why don't they charge property tax on that? That's property that you own. It's your property. Why do you suppose they want to tax the land and the house? Well, it's because you can't walk off with it. Their justification for doing so is, well, we need to have those taxes to pay for community things in the community. That's a part of your community. It's all you need to, since you want to be a part of this community and own a house here, own this property, you have to pay for property tax. So that those taxes then can then go to, you know, take care of police and all these other things. Why does it have to be tagged to my property? You see, this is the sore spot for me. Because I see so many people who work most of their lives. Now, this doesn't happen as much as it did, but the people who work 30 years at a job have worked hard to pay off their mortgage, done everything that they can to get through and make all the payments and get everything done and pay for the insurance and pay for this and pay for that. They get to the end of that, they're ready to retire, they pay off their home. Now they're on a, quote, fixed income. And they still have to pay property tax. They have to pay the state, basically, to rent their home. They're paying rent on their home that they paid for. And in many cases, states can, they can play with those numbers. They can adjust them up and down. The next thing you know, you can't afford to be in your own home because the property taxes are too high. That's the sad part of it, in my opinion. And it should not be that way, because you're not sovereign. You're not sovereign in your personal effects and your property. This is, it's immoral, in my opinion, property taxes are. Now, how are we going to fix that? Well, state of Indiana, at one point, we had a property tax resolution that was going through the state house. Of course, I think the Democrats at the time had the state Senate. I believe it was the other way around. But whatever it was, they were trying to put this proposal out there where at the time we had 4% sales tax. And I think the Republicans came through and said, look, if we charge a 9% sales tax, we can get rid of property tax. That way, everybody's paying for the services that they're using, whether they're living here or not. We have people coming into to the community from outside, whether that's tourism, whatever it is. Anybody who comes through our state, does business here, whatever they're doing, they pay more for sales tax. Those sales tax increases will pay for all the things that a property taxes pay for now. Mostly school, fire, and police in the local communities. That's where most of your property taxes go, and at least in our state. So if your particular school district that you're in decides to build a new school, well, guess what? Your property taxes are going up. So they do all this. And they come through with this bill, and the Democrats say, no, we can't, we're not going to do that. We're not going to vote for that. Let's compromise. Let's raise the sales tax this much to 7% instead of 9%. Of course, it didn't just go halfway up. It went over halfway up. From 4% to 7% instead of 9%, which they'll probably raise again later anyway. But let's not get rid of the property tax. Let's just put a cap on property tax on residential dwelling. In other words, if you own multiple homes, let's start with this example. You own one home, you live in it. Your property tax, because you live there, that's your residence, it's going to be capped at whatever it is, 2% or whatever it is. So, say the value of your home is $100,000. You're going to pay $2,000 a year, believe it or not, to live in that home. Is that right? Something like that, 2%. Great. So, I got to pay the state $2,000 a year to live here. If your house is, of course, $300,000, then you got to pay $6,000 a year. Now, you can get all kinds of exemptions, homestead exemptions, all the kind of stuff, regardless of all that. Okay, let's just say that's what it is. It's 2%. And it's capped at that. I think they actually capped it at 1.2% or something like that. Guess what it is. But I'm just using this as an example. So they cap it at 2%. I believe ours is 1.2 or 1.12, something like that. So that's where they capped it. Now, okay, let's say they were evaluating, and usually at this time when they were doing all this, the assessor usually came through and underestimated the value of your home. So he would come through and say, well, you know, you can probably get $300,000 for that house, but we're gonna assess it at $225,000. Because they didn't want to over-assess houses. So they were tried to be on the conservative side of all that. Okay, that's well and good and fair. Now, after the cap came into process, now they revalued everyone's homes. They came in and reassessed everyone's homes. This was part of the deal. This was part of the bill that they had to make sure that they went through an entire reassessment of everyone's property, which they usually do every year anyway, but sometimes they don't even show up at your house. They just reassess it. Just look at the property value, look at everything around it and what's been selling around your house, and they just value it based on that. This time they went up to market value, and the home was, in some cases, they said it was worth more than you could get it for on the market even. This is what happened to me with a commercial building I have, because it's not my residence. They tripled the value of my property on my commercial building. It's not a residence. It doesn't fall. Now, if you own a rental property, it's not your residence. It's someone else's residence. It's your second property, or third or fourth or whatever you have, how big of a slumlord you are. Do you have these other properties that you're renting out? Those are not protected by the cap. They can be 2 to 3%, whatever they decide. Those can go up, and they can also reassess the value of those, which in itself is a type of property tax increase, even though they're saying that it's capped. They just adjust the value. So it's simple. They knew this going in. So the Republicans compromised. Oh, this is a great deal. This caps everyone's property taxes, keeps them down low. Even though we're taking a little bit of a heat, a little bit of a beating here on the sales tax. Now, I don't know if this was part of the plan at the beginning, this whole thing. We need to get sales tax up, but we have to figure out a way to do that. So how are we going to, so under the table, they make these, I would not be surprised at all, especially in the state of Indiana. I know of some things that happened in the state of Indiana under Republican governments. Management. I was appalled at some of the things I saw happen under the table. And I'm not going to talk about the details here right now, but I can just tell you that kind of thing happens on both sides of the aisle. And in this state, it is just disgusting. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that. Now, I don't know if it did or not. But I would not be surprised just because of the way I've seen them act in the past. So now we have 9%, or we have 7% sales tax, and we have property taxes about where they were. Still have property taxes, and in most cases, they're higher. Great job, Republicans. Thanks for compromise. Thanks for meeting in the middle, like we always say. Isn't that great? Worked out great for everybody. And what do? We just keep on going. So now when we try to do the same thing, well, let's raise it to 9% and do the whole thing over again, and we'll just get rid of property tax. No, they're not going to do that. Because once they get a budget, once they get the money flowing, that money's already spent. Now there's no surplus anymore. What about roads? Roads are paid for by other kinds of taxes. And I'd be happy paying other consumption taxes to get rid of my property taxes. Perfectly happy doing that because I can control that. That's what they don't like. If they want to charge sales tax when I buy my house, even, not 9%, but a percentage of sales tax. If they want to charge some kind of a excise tax for buying a house, one time you pay it, you're done. I'm okay with that. Let me pay it and be done. Let me put it into my mortgage or whatever. It's done. When the house is paid off, everything's paid off. Or pay it up front or however you do it. That makes more sense to me than this ongoing serfdom that we have to the state. It used to be that when only property owners could vote for that very reason. Because it was reliant upon you were invested in the state. You were invested in the property of the state. They wanted, you were the only, you know, you could vote. Nobody else could. That was how it was in most states for a while. All right. Anyway, folks, this is a Thirsty Thursday, and I didn't really get into, I didn't have time. Thursday is going to be a little bit difficult to produce and to get in the can because of all there's a little more intricacies trying to find some positive stories about people who are good examples and exemplary people in the world. And as well as people who are like Letitia James, mealy-mouthed, whatever. Friday, tomorrow, you're going to find out a little bit more. And I do have some audio. Fridays are going to be mostly audio, but it's you'll find out what the name of Friday is going to be, what we're going to call the show on Fridays. But for the most part, it's going to be audio, video, possibly live, possibly showing some video along with the audio. I'll try to be aware of the fact that not everybody can watch the video. But meantime, have a great day. God bless. Take care. See you tomorrow.